Take your Wi-Fi further with wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity. With fast speeds and reliable coverage, home just got even sweeter with the Xfinity 10G network. Restrictions apply. Not available in all areas. Actual speeds vary.
From KQED. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Mina Kim with a special holiday edition of Forum from our archives. Coming up, the pandemic hit when income inequality was already high. Now it's put millions of Californians on the brink of financial disaster. We look at what's needed to blunt the impact of the recession and create an equitable recovery. Then Roman Mars, host of the podcast 99% Invisible, likes to tell interesting stories about things that appear to be very uninteresting, like stop signs and freeway lanes. With the coronavirus limiting our ability to travel, Mars joins us to help uncover the gems surrounding us in our own neighborhoods. That's next, after this news. This is Forum. I'm Mina Kim. Without more economic relief, hundreds of thousands of Californians will lose unemployment benefits at the end of the year. By early next year, millions could face losing their homes, as the state's eviction moratorium is slated to expire February 1st. Here to talk about the magnitude of the state's economic crisis triggered by the pandemic is Sarah Bone, Vice President of Research and Senior Fellow at Public Policy Institute of California, which just released a report on what needs to be done so that Californians hit hardest by this recession, low-wage workers, people of color, women, can recover quickly. Sarah Bone, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Mina.
What do past recessions tell us about what those hit hardest by them face in terms of impact and recovery?
So this has been a year of unprecedented crisis, and we often think about every recession is different in some way. But what I would say is, you know, every recession, major recession in California, is the same in the sense that it has exacerbated divides in economic opportunity, where low-income families see larger drops in income, take much longer to recover than higher-income families. And we are repeating that pattern today, the current data and conditions suggest, perhaps even worsening it.
And one of the things that you made very clear in your report was that there were a lot of people who were already struggling before this pandemic or who had just recovered from the previous recession. How did this differ geographically?
Yeah, it's an important consideration because California is so large. We have such diverse regions and sectors. Low-income families basically had barely recovered across the state before this recession hit. And in general, across kind of recessions over the past 40 years, low-income families took about a decade to recover. So, you know, that puts us, you know, 10 years after the Great Recession, just barely having recovered. And that's actually driven that even that pretty dire level of recovery is driven by the results in the Bay Area, Los Angeles, that were really kind of ahead on recovery, especially for low-income families. So, you know, we see the far northern parts of California, inland California, both the Central Valley and Inland Empire, and took much longer for low incomes to recover, about 12 years.
And you mentioned that while this pandemic is, of course, unprecedented to some extent, that recessions generally follow a similar pattern. One thing that is different is just the number of people who can work remotely, or how remote work has gone up so dramatically as a result. Does that affect the disparities?
It absolutely does. And I think it really brings into sharp relief the reality of our labor market that was already there in terms of the divides and kind of the nature of work, the opportunities for work across the spectrum. So, you know, we see, you know, that's really contributing to kind of the disparity in outcomes so far this year, where low-income families, workers in low-income families are much more likely to be out of work. Their unemployment rates are, you know, 25 to 30% this year. And I'm talking about families in the kind of the bottom 10% of families that are earning about $30,000 a year or less. contrast that to the statewide unemployment rate, which is 9%. So low-income families are doing, you know, having a much harder time. And high-income families, where they're able to work remotely and kind of maintain the status quo in terms of their labor market conditions, are much, much less likely to be unemployed.
And if you have questions about how the economic crisis triggered by this pandemic is playing out in California, you can join us at 866-733-6786, or you can also email us, forum@kqed.org, or post them online at KQED Forum. So one of the things that your report also mentions is that at least from March through July, poverty likely did not increase. I mean, what do you think have been the most effective interventions in California that staved off, in some cases, financial catastrophe that need to continue in the short term?
The evidence so far suggests that federal expansions to unemployment insurance, safety net programs, and stimulus checks that many families received were really the key things that staved off increases in poverty, especially through the depth of kind of what we experienced this year and the middle part of the year. Some of that has already expired, like the unemployment insurance kind of supplemental benefit of $600 a week expired this summer. But nonetheless, the federal government funded much of the expansions to workers who would otherwise not be qualified to receive unemployment insurance benefits because they may be self-employed, they may be gig workers, have less work history, that kind of thing. And that in total, those unemployment insurance benefits brought in about $110 billion to California, which clearly helped families make rent, just get by, but also brought resources into our economy that kind of we think really supporting the sectors that we're still able to function or function as close to normal as possible this year.
And of course, we're talking with Sarah Bone of Public Policy Institute of California. So those were the things that needed to be done to address the impacts of the recession in the short term. But one of the things that you also talk about in your report is what needs to be done in the long term to actually create a more equitable recovery, to try to improve the speed at which people, low-wage workers, people who are hit hardest, recover. Can you talk about sort of what the short-term and long-term priorities need to be?
Sure. I mean, in the short term, we focus a lot on stabilizing things, and we're still in a really dire circumstance where economic activity is constrained. We want to make sure that families, businesses are kind of able to get through this until we see a COVID-19 abating and we can kind of return to normal. So, you know, what I mentioned about unemployment insurance, safety net benefits is one way to target that near-term kind of stabilization effort. Of course, directing resources to businesses that have been hampered by this recession is also critical. And the federal government has directed resources to that. But the state is also working on, you know, leveraging private investment through what we call public-private partnerships to help direct more capital to struggling businesses. I would point to also in the near term what we need to be thinking about how Californians will get back to work. Will their jobs be there? Are sectors undergoing structural changes and kind of what they're going to be looking for in their workforce, so that we need to actually train more Californians for different kinds of jobs? The state can play a big role there because we direct a lot of state resources to the educational system, including community colleges. The other piece I would point to for kind of near-term issues is the care sector. We've seen how the closure of schools and childcare facilities has hampered labor force participation among women, especially this year. And so thinking about how we get as many Californians back to work as quickly as possible will rely on what we do in that childcare sector, especially to make sure that it's affordable, accessible by as many Californians as possible.
And of course, go right ahead.
Sorry, I wanted to touch on, like, over the long term, some of those same things I think are what we look towards to not just bring people back to work, but to really address economic opportunity over the long run. So I see education across the spectrum, from early learning through kind of job training, higher education, as critical to ensuring that more Californians can be on that kind of upward ladder in the modern economy.
And it sounds like, of course, all of this is only possible once we control the virus. But the other piece of this is that a lot of emphasis is on reopening the economy and bringing jobs back. But one of the points that the report makes is that that's great, but you also have to increase wages to reduce inequality, among many other things, like you just pointed out. A lot of the things you're talking about, Sarah Bone, will require substantial investment while the state has basically fewer resources right now. I mean, what do you see as the biggest challenges to trying to have an equitable recovery?
It is a huge challenge in the short run. California's kind of budget position is a little bit better this year than we expected because revenues, tax revenues have come in just greater than expected. There obviously was a lot of uncertainty this year in those kind of projections. So that gives the state some flexibility, especially this year, to kind of shore up its budget, to direct resources to, you know, families, businesses in need, and kind of stabilize things and also inject resources into the education system. But ongoing for, you know, ongoing issues in our budget, will continue to constrain state choices on what they can do in terms of making these long-term investments that we think could really move the needle on inequality and economic opportunity.
Are there, silver linings is a hard word to use here, but are there things about this particular recession? For example, we've often heard that it's laid bare the disparities, or the fact that California generally seems to at least California seem to have an appetite for more government intervention. Do those things help us?
That's a good question. My feeling on that is, you know, that this recession has highlighted the inequalities inherent in our economy, but it's a really complex problem that has, frankly, been growing for 40 years. And we know some things that work. We have solid research on certain investments, but we, you know, maybe haven't, you know, implemented that at the scale or with the kind of effectiveness that is needed. PPIC regularly surveys Californians, and we regularly find that a pretty strong support for the state doing more to address the gap between rich and poor. In our latest, the latest survey where we asked this question was in September, and we found 59% of the state overall agreed with the statement that the state should do more to reduce the gap. But there's a lot of variation, you know, especially in terms of kind of partisanship leaning. So there are really fundamental differences in views about the role of government.
Yes, and of course, a lot will depend also on federal support.
Indeed. I think, you know, especially in the short term, federal support, you know, what Congress is talking about right now, and we're really anxiously waiting to see where they'll land on stimulus, it's just going to play an outsized role given the constraints that not just California, but all states face, and not being able to run a deficit. And, you know, local governments also kind of face the same constraints, or potentially even worse, where that can constrict kind of how things operate at the local level and the kind of services and supports that we all have access to here.
Well, Sarah Bone, thanks for this snapshot of what's happening in California now. I mean, of course, it's one of those things where the trajectory of this recession, we'll have to wait and see, but hopefully some of the advice in your report will be heeded. Sarah Bone, Vice President of Research and Senior Fellow at Public Policy Institute of California, really appreciate having you on.
Thank you, Mina. Appreciate it.
Up next, Roman Mars, host of the Design and Architecture podcast, 99% Invisible.
Take your Wi-Fi further with wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity. With fast speeds and reliable coverage, home just got even sweeter with the Xfinity 10G network. Restrictions apply. Not available in all areas. Actual speeds vary.